We'll take a cup of kindness yet for old Ang Syne. So wins the best film of all time, according to the not-so-renowned film critic, me. I love that film. It's my number one all-time favorite. It's a film about true friendship, the kind of friendship that puts the needs of others above one's own needs and desires. It's a film about a man who had temporarily forgotten the eternal value of such friendship. And God sends him an angel, Clarence, to remind him. Although not strictly a Christmas carol, Old Auld Lang Syne, I thought the Christmas carol theology series just wouldn't be complete without its inclusion. So we're going to wrap up this whole series of Christmas carol theology with the song we sing at New Year's. Did you sing it last night? Anybody? Or you saw it on TV? You just watched. Do you know what it means? That's what I thought. I didn't either. Had to go look it up. Old Ang Syne. Here's the words. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never be brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and Old Ang Syne? And then the chorus. For Old Ang Syne, my dear, for Old Ang Syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for Old Ang Syne. It's an old Scottish song, first written down in the 1700s by the Scottish poet Robert Burns. But it predates him by probably 200 years. The words Old Ang Syne literally translates from an old Scottish dialect meaning old long ago. And it's about friendship in times past. It's a song commemorating the best of friendships remembered. It's a song that says we will not forget such friendships. And sometimes when the line is sung, we'll take a cup of kindness yet, the singers will raise a cup of whatever they're drinking and in salute to old friends remembered. And so in wrapping up this whole Christmas carol theology series today, it just seemed appropriate to me that on the first day of the new year, we'd gather around the Lord's table and raise a very special cup to our most treasured friend and Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So that's what I want to do today. So we're going to take a look at that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, and remember our best and dearest friend at his table. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Now, you may not know that this is the earliest written record of what happened on the night Jesus was betrayed. The four Gospels were written after most of Paul's letters, including 1 Corinthians. So what Paul passed on to the church at Corinth is what he received directly from the Lord. So even though he was not present at the Last Supper, he passes on these first-hand instructions from the Lord. The Greek verb paradidomai, translated betrayed, can mean to be handed over or to give up a person. When used as a military term, it means surrender. Peter, in Acts 3, tells the crowd that he preaches to, he says, "You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him." Handed over is that same root word, paradidomai. But it wasn't just the Jews on that day or the Romans on that day that gave him up, betrayed him, as it were, for death, but all who are guilty of sin. Well, that would include us. All who lived before him, all who lived in his time, all who live after him. The betrayal is found in our own hearts, and we fail to live up to our faith. Christ went to the cross to redeem our hearts, to redeem the betrayal that is too often found in all of us. Paul's quoting Jesus, who repeats this imperative, "Do this in remembrance of me." Now, why does he repeat it? Why does he say, you know, after he breaks the bread, "Do this in remembrance of me"? And then he raises the cup and he says it again, "Do this in remembrance of me," in such short order. Well, obviously, it must be a major point of emphasis for the Lord. And so then we ask the question, what is so vital for us to remember? What is it that Christ the Lord wants you to remember? Well, I think three things. As we come to the table, we remember, first, his past sacrifice. No additional sacrifice is needed, which is a stark contrast to the old covenant, the old way of sacrificing the blood of animals. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 3 and 4 says, "But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." So each time those sacrifices were made, it reminded the people then before Christ that the main sacrifice is coming, the real one. Because it is possible for the blood of Christ to take away sins. And what that means for those of us who receive Christ is that we don't have to worry about payback to God. We don't have to worry and work to provide some additional sacrifice to win His forgiveness and His acceptance. The only sacrifice required for the forgiveness of your sins forevermore has already been made. Now that's good news. And it was a sacrifice we could never hope to make, because it took a lamb without blemish. Only one could make that sacrifice, and he did. And what does Jesus ask of us? Remember it. Remember that sacrifice. Don't ever let it be far from your heart and mind, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. We must not live our lives as though we have forgotten what the cross is about and what the Lord Jesus did for us there. He asks that you remember. Second, we remember His presence with us. He's with us at the table. When He ascended into heaven after His resurrection, He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, to indwell us, so that He's no longer limited to one spot on the face of the earth, but He's with everyone, everywhere, who calls on His name. He's with us everywhere and every time two or more are gathered in His name. He's with us in our homes. He's with us in our workplaces. He is with us when we pray and when we read our Bibles and when we worship and we're doing good, religious, holy stuff. He's with us. He's also with us when we're camping with the family, when we're playing with the kids, when we're coaching the little league team. He's with us when we're working in the yard. He's even with us at the New Year's Eve party. He's with us when we sense His presence and feel Him near. And He's with us when we don't. We must not live our lives as though we have forgotten Emmanuel, God with us. We remember His past sacrifice. We remember His presence with us now. And third, we remember His future return. He promised to return and finish His work of redemption. But we don't isolate ourselves from the world. We don't sit in mountain retreats doing nothing but gazing up at the sky looking for His return. We don't sit around prognosticating on when that day is going to be. We don't do that kind of stuff. We live for Him. We serve Him. We worship Him and we proclaim Him. We already belong to His kingdom. That's why we say, Christ is Lord. No politician, no human king, no prince. Christ alone has our complete allegiance. Because we're a part of His kingdom. That's already here. We belong to Him. We are advanced, are like an advanced outpost working for Him as His kingdom continues to prevail. We must not live our lives as though we've forgotten His future return. The cup is the symbol of His suffering. But it isn't the cup per se. It's what's in the cup that's most significant. What is in the cup? Well, wine, or in our case today, grape juice. But it symbolizes blood. His blood shed for us. His blood that ushers in a new covenant that supersedes the old covenant. Whereas the old covenant was based on the law of Moses and measuring up to that law, which no one could do, the new covenant is based on the grace of Christ. In verse 26, Paul says that in partaking of the bread and cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Why His death instead of His resurrection? In a sense, it's kind of both, but it's His death that pays the price for our sins. It's His death that redeems us. It's His death that gives us new life. In His death, the love of God is fully disclosed. His resurrection is confirmation that it's true. The word translated proclaim is the Greek word katangelo. It's kind of fun to say, katangelo. Most often in the New Testament, that word is translated preach. That's what I do. But when you participate in the Lord's Supper, it's also what you do. When we participate in the Lord's Supper, we're bearing witness to Him in a very public and open way. Coming to the table to partake of the bread and cup, that's your testimony. That's your witness. That's your physical statement of faith, because you don't come to the table unless you believe and He's your Lord. It's your statement of faith. It's your sermon proclaiming Christ. So in a sense, we all come to preach today, to proclaim Christ as we come to His table. F.F. Bruce, one of the great Bible exegetes of all time, perhaps, said, in the biblical sense, remembrance is more than a mental exercise. It involves a realization of what is remembered. At the Passover feast, participants are one with their ancestors of the Exodus. At the Eucharist, or the communion, Christians experience the real presence of their Lord. As the Passover meal was a memorial of the departure from Egypt, so this breaking of bread was to be a memorial of Jesus after His departure, which He was to accomplish at Jerusalem. Remembrance, it's more than simple recall of a historical fact or event. Remembrance is living our lives in the light of it. So, now is the time for you to come to the table, for you to be a physical sermon, as it were, proclaiming your faith in this Christ. So, come to the Lord's table today and remember His past sacrifice. Remember His presence with us and His future return. Come to the Lord's table and proclaim that Christ is Lord. Come to the Lord's table and, as the psalmist wrote, lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Here's the way we're going to come to the table today. In a sense, like we always do, we have four tables set, so we can really have four lines. But don't be in a rush. We don't have to make a line out the back door. Just remain where you are. Actually, I've got something else for you to do there. When you're ready, you come to the table and you partake of the bread and the cup. And then while you're waiting, or after you've gone to the table, we're not going to have our elders to bless you today. I thought today, on this New Year's Day, we should bless each other. So, it's not going to be a time that's real somber and heavy. It's a time of rejoicing. It's a carryover from your New Year's Eve party, assuming you remembered Christ was with you there last night. I'm sure you did. So, mill around. Find someone to bless. Find someone just to say, Happy New Year, and offer a blessing today. So I want it to be sort of everybody up and mill around, come to the table when you're ready, partake, and then go bless each other. Okay? We've got plenty of time to do this today. Let me say the blessing, and then you go bless someone. Go tell someone Happy New Year. Socialize. Know that Christ is in the midst of this, and you come to the table as you're ready. Partake, and then go back and bless people. I know it's going to be chaotic, but I trust the Lord's going to be in it. So we're going to enjoy the chaos. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You are a God who loves us so much, that You were in that sacrifice of Christ on the cross. We give thanks, Father, for Your presence with us each day, every moment. And we give thanks for the promise of the return of Christ to finish the redemption of the world. As we come to Your table, help us, Lord God, to be joyful and filled with thanksgiving, because redemption is ours. In Christ we pray. Amen. May you lift up the cup of salvation to Christ the Lord and remember His past sacrifice, His presence, and His future coming always. Amen.